Well, my brothers and sisters, it is wonderful to see you all here in worship this morning. Another opportunity for us to be in the presence of our God and King and the Savior of, and our Lord who has done all that was necessary to bring reconciliation between us and himself and make possible our eternal home in heaven. Folks, as we gather here this morning, first of all, we want to remember that, that we just finished up National Lutheran Schools Week, and so we've got a special reader for the gospel this morning, which is going to be kind of fun, and we just want to be keeping the school in our prayers as we support the ministry that they do and the lifelong changes that they are able to work in the hearts of kids through the work of the Holy Spirit and his word. So let us begin our worship service this morning, remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God through adoption and the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this beautiful day, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. And we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and minds through your word, that we may know better, Lord, the incredible gospel, this message of salvation through the death of your Son, and that we would, Lord, be able to reflect that love into this world, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through the word today, and let us respond to you, Lord, through the music and the songs. And Lord, I pray for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven once again. And as this is true and as this brings joy to our hearts, let us sing praise and glory to our God and King.
We pray, and lead us. we turn our eyes to you. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Good morning. My name is Mike Kennedy. It's my privilege to read the first reading from Dr. Luke. In your pew Bible, it's page 1465. I encourage you to open it up and follow along. Jesus has just come back from being tempted in the wilderness and started his teaching. He was thrown out of one town, and now scripture starts with, then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly, come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what words these are, what authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God! But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him when they came to where he was. They tried to keep him from leaving. But he said to them, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, children, it is now time for the children's message. So if you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for us this morning.
Good morning. I have some helpers. They're going to help me today. This is the end of Lutheran Schools Week, which is kind of crazy and a lot of fun. I would like to introduce to you my helpers. This is second grader Oscar Bates, second grader Gavin Richardson, second grader Kinsley Tibbles, and her big brother Kyle Tibbles, who is in fifth grade. And they're going to help me this morning with the children's message. So I'm going to have a seat so I can be close to you guys. And I thought that we would talk about love. Have you guys heard that word before?
Yep.
Heard the word love?
Yeah,
yeah. So we're going to talk about love and maybe what that looks like, how that works. And I'm going to have my helpers help me show you what love is like. And we're going to talk about that. So when we talk about love, and my helpers are going to help me. Yes, Kinsley?
Miss A, I need a Band-Aid.
Oh, you need a Band-Aid? Oh, I bet that hurts. I love you, Kinsley. So when we talk about what, yes, Oscar? You're hungry? That's too bad. I love you, Oscar. I do. I really do. So when we... Yes, Kyle? Oh, those edits, those can be really hard. I love you, Kyle. Such a good kid. I love you. So when we talk about... Yeah. Yes, Gavin? You made a mess and you need help cleaning it up? Oh, I love you, Gavin. There. And that's what love looks like.
No, 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 no.
So do you think that's what love is? All right, you guys can have a seat. So help me. Did I show love? Did I show love to my friends?
No.
I told them I loved them. What should I do for Kinsley if she needs a Band-Aid? I'll either give her a Band-Aid or I'll tell her where to go find a Band-Aid or something. What about when Oscar's hungry? So I could give him food or tell him to talk to his parents about feeding him. Or oh, he's telling him now. There he is. But I would do something. What about my friend Kyle when he needs help with his homework? I would help him or help him find somebody that can help him. What about Gavin if he made a mess? If I really love Gavin, what would I do? I wouldn't just say, I love you. I would help him. Now, you know who taught us about love? How do we know about love? I think God and the Bible taught us about love because we had a big problem, didn't we? We were sinners and we made mistakes and we didn't do things right all the time. But God didn't just say, oh, you poor people, that's awful, that sin. But I love you. And then just leave. What did he do? Exactly. He sent his son Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again. And then our sins were forgiven. So he didn't just say it, he did it. And one of the things we get to do at school every week on Wednesday is we get to have chapel. So it's kind of like church, but for little people, and it's really fun. And one of the things we do at chapel is we have an offering. And kids can bring in their money, and we collect it. Last quarter, do you guys know how much money did we bring in for Guatemala? Do you remember? $501.13 or something like that. $500 that we're going to give to Guatemala, the kids brought in. Is that cool? That's not just saying it, that's doing it. And over here, this quarter, we not only brought in offerings, but we brought in food. And my friend Sawyer this morning, he helped me count. And we kind of did a little mental math in our head. And I think what we have over there is probably equal to about 3 or 4 tickets to Disney World. That's a sacrifice. People are bringing in food for people who need it, instead of using that for themselves. So that's pretty cool too. And God tells us in the Bible, the way we love him is by loving his people. You think you can do that? Love people by doing things, not just saying things. Let's pray. You repeat after me. Dear God, help me to love others the way you love me. Amen. And before you go to Little Worship today, I'm going to have my friends do one more thing with me. We're going to read the sermon scripture so you guys can have a seat just for a minute, and I'm going to let them get their things. And before we read, just picture 20 years from now, Pastor Bates, Mr. Richardson, fifth grade math teacher. Okay, look at this smile. Miss Kinsley, director of Christian education in a Lutheran church. Her smile, Lauren's smile. And right here, picture Principal Tibbles. Yeah. I think that our Lutheran churches and our Lutheran schools are in good hands. The sermon scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31b, through chapter 13, verse 13. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love,
I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal.
If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love,
I am nothing.
If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love,
I gain nothing.
Love is patient.
Love is kind.
It does not envy.
It does not boast.
It is not proud.
It does not dishonor others.
It is not self-seeking.
It is not easily angered.
It keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
It always protects.
Always trusts.
Always hopes.
Always perseveres.
Love never fails.
But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now, these three remain.
Faith, hope,
and love.
But the greatest of these is love.
All right, everybody, all the kids, that as long as it's okay with your parents, you can meet at the cross in the center aisle for a little worship. And the rest of us, we're going to be digging into God's word here today. We have a wonderful guest preacher that came today, which is a great relief to me as I'm trying to get that kitchen done. It seems like it never goes away, right? But anyway, Mark Kiesling, if you would come forward at this time. Pastor Mark Kiesling is the director of youth ministry in the LCMS, and he's really busy right now. We'll be praying for him later. He's trying to plan a youth gathering. I can't even imagine how bizarre and complex and weird that is during COVID. You know, it's got to be strange. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Pastor Mark, Lord, and the word that you've given him for us this morning. I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear and to receive and to be and just to be able to implement this, Lord, in our lives, Lord, in a way that will bring comfort to our souls, Lord, and glory to you in our lives. Thank you, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a great honor to be with you this morning. I think it's great when the service comes together like this. I think it's kind of simple to say, I don't think I can add anything to the children's sermon and the message. Thank you, Mrs. Armbruster and the kids. What an amazing display of God's love for us and response as Christians that we're able to come and share that good news. I just want to say I'm going to kind of go off script a little bit for me. Man, I'm overwhelmed to see these children and to see the work that gets done here at St. Mark's. This is really something you're going to hear me talk about in my sermon, talking about how some research that we did within LCMS churches and schools and how congregations and schools invest in their young people. And they truly think about these future leaders in Lutheran schools, in churches, in our congregations, and the many vocations which they serve. So thank you for the way that you invest in the lives of young people and showing them Jesus' love. It is great, a great blessing. Certainly, as we get started, I do bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And certainly bring you greetings from the LCMS Office of National Mission, specifically Youth Ministry, where I am blessed to serve. And it's great to be able to share God's word with you, as well as to talk a little bit about how we see God work through his word, through his people, and through his love in the lives of young people in LCMS congregations and schools. And certainly great to be here at the end of National Lutheran Schools Week, a great time to celebrate the gift that our Lutheran schools, not only here at St. Mark's, but across our country. So as I said, our text for today is the epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians 13 that was so well read. And to talk about that blessing of Christian love shared in community. Now, many of you may have heard that text and thought right away, like, oh, I've heard this before. I've heard this before at maybe a wedding, maybe your own wedding. That was the text that was used. And certainly it is a beautiful reminder and teaching on the Christian love shown between a husband and a wife in their marriage. But if you've been maybe reading through the 1 Corinthians text the last couple of weeks or studied on your own, we know the context is Paul's talking to the church, a Christian community that was struggling with a lot of different things. Paul had written these letters to a church that had discord and disagreement and honestly was kind of dysfunctional, maybe, in their life together. They were struggling with what it means to be a Christian in a very, what we might say, secular world, wrought with a worldview that was not to be found in Christian scripture. They were starting kind of from square one in their understanding of a creator God, of a promised Messiah who came to save us from our sins, and a Holy Spirit that works in us and comforts us. 1 and 2 Corinthians are pretty long letters because Paul had a lot to address, a lot to talk about with these Christians. As I read this beautiful scripture, too, I always have to pause and let the word do its work on me. How often am I not patient and kind? How often do I maybe envy my neighbor and break the 9th and 10th commandment? How often do I boast and take credit for things that are God's work or maybe the specific work of someone else? How often am I arrogant or rude, and sometimes even intentionally out of anger towards someone? How often in my relationships do I insist on my own way or draw a line that I will not stubbornly cross? And how easy is it for me to be irritable or resentful? And how often do I turn my back on the truth? How quickly do I turn my back on an opportunity to bear the burdens of others because it might get messy or burdensome for me, as we saw in our children's message as an example? I see how I seriously fall short of the love shown to me in Jesus. But the Holy Spirit works through Paul not only to call us to repentance, but to remind us that we are blessed to have heard the good news of Jesus Christ and to be called to faith in Jesus as our Savior. At the beginning of the letter to the church in Corinth, Paul says these words as he addresses them. Those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints together with those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words are to us as well. Those in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we've been able to do in our singing, as we've been able to do in community here, we call on that powerful name, just as Paul did with the church in Corinth. So thanks be to God, we are addressed by those words as well. And the reminder of what the beauty it is to have Christian love given to us by Jesus. For me, I have the story that by God's grace, my parents brought me to the waters of baptism, and I am clothed in Christ's righteousness. And I am a new creation that learns to grow every day in the grace of Jesus. And I am surrounded by other Christians who show me his grace and encourage me in God's word. Thank you, Jesus, for those Pauls in my life who share that word. And to us saints and sinners who are sanctified in Jesus, those people whom the Lord loves dearly, Paul makes this focused statement about Christian community that wraps up many of his concerns and also helps the church prioritize their life together as Christians. In the opening half verse of our reading, Paul introduced Christian love by saying, "And I will show you the most excellent way." This most excellent way is living a Christ-centered, self-sacrificing love. Love that is Jesus. For Jesus is patient and forgiving. As Paul writes in Philippians 2, Jesus emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is what love is. This is the love that we share. This is the most excellent way. In the LCMS, we did some research on the retention of young people in the church. We studied practices and characteristics of LCMS congregations and schools and families and maybe other Christian communities. And we also wanted to hear from young adults about their experiences they had in these communities and what maybe drew them closer to Jesus and his church, or maybe where they felt they were pushed away from Christian community. And with our research, we continued to study God's word, our confession, and the context of LCMS churches and schools to focus on practices that led to the retention of young people and ongoing discipleship, particularly after they had left high school. This led us to develop what we called the 7 practices of healthy youth ministry, and I'll talk about more of that in adult Bible class. And I'm going to focus on just one of those practices for the next few minutes. After we developed these practices, I started reading through Scripture, kind of through the lens of those practices. And I found narratives and pieces of wisdom and Scripture that helped us explain these practices that we saw through research and certainly already in God's Word. And what especially when I read the epistles, I found myself in my digital Bible color coding parts of Scripture that matched with the practices. And it was awesome to see how through research we were able to see LCMS congregations and schools putting God's word into action. They were applying their faith, investing in young people, how they treated them, how they loved them, how they spoke the gospel to them, how they encouraged families as they walked together in Jesus. And it was a great blessing to be able to see that. Well, as you might imagine, 1 Corinthians 13 was one of these scriptures that I had coded as a practice that we call warmth, challenge, and grace. These were characteristics of Christian families and of communities like churches and schools and other places that young people were engaged in faith development, and were words that we heard a lot of things like authentic relationships. I was welcomed. I knew where I belonged. And these were words that we landed on, one of those being warmth. This is what we call about is a characteristic of a welcoming environment where young people know that they belong and have a place in the community. Warmth is also displayed by welcoming those who are maybe new to the community or outside of the community where Christ's love and mercy is shown. As we heard in the children's message, we reflect Christ's mercy and love for all people because he came and showed us love and saved us sinners. Not just us, but all people. And that those are the people we get to interact on a daily basis in our families, in our school, in our jobs, in so many different areas of our life. The second word was challenge. That's a word that we kind of look at in two different ways. One is the use of God's law. In Christian community, sin does not go unaddressed. As we confess our sin at the beginning of our service, as we confess our sins to one another. Paul does this for the Corinthians. And we reflect on the truth of God's word that we fall short of his holiness. Now, we know this message can be hard to speak, especially outside the walls of the church, maybe even sometimes inside the walls of the church, but is one that we rely on God's word to do. And as Christians, we hear the law and humbly repent and seek his forgiveness. We do that as we did that this morning on Sunday mornings. We do that in our daily devotional life, repent and seek forgiveness. We do that relationally, person to person. Specifically, young people in our research spoke of parents and trusted adults who would, out of love, call them to repentance. These adults reached out to them when maybe this young person was going down a road of a dangerous path and were invited to repent and receive Christ's grace. They were treated with dignity and love and warmth by the community, even when sometimes they were maybe dealing with a public sin. And through that process, young people grew in their understanding of the depth of God's love and that their parents and other adults cared for them and their eternal salvation. Another meaning of that word challenge is that the church or Lutheran school or caring Christian family or community can be a great place to challenge young people to grow in God's word, to do new things, expand their understanding of vocation, and take steps in faith while serving others. Christian community can be a great place for young people to learn, even by making mistakes, and yet to know that they are still loved and accepted rather than scorned or turned away or ridiculed. And in the context of our Lutheran schools, teachers challenge students in a caring environment to grow in their knowledge of God, themselves, and our world. Now, graces may be obvious. The church, our life with Jesus, is based on his grace for us. It is a place where forgiveness of sins is proclaimed and received. The church and Christian community is where Christians are strengthened and encouraged to live in that grace and to share it with one another and out in the world. Now, these characteristics of warmth, challenge, and grace were exhibited in key relationships with key people. And simply put, it was applying scriptures like 1 Corinthians 13 to our everyday lives and lived out in word and then also in deed, as we saw in the children's message, of where those concerns were met and where love was shown. One of those areas, certainly a primary, was in the Christian home, most particularly through parents, and if not a parent, others who maybe stepped into those roles for young people. These characteristics were on display when caring adults took the time to engage in discussions about faith and life. Sometimes the discussion of life may have been, how does my faith interact with what is going on in my everyday life? How do I make sense of this? How do I stand up as a Christian in this place out of love for my neighbor and also for the Lord? Sometimes this was maybe a tough question about faith itself, understanding what does Scripture say about this. And the parent maybe didn't have to know every answer, but they were able to point them maybe to a helper, a pastor, a DCE, a church worker, someone that would be able to point them to Scripture and walk with them through a difficult situation. We also saw a retention of young people in the church when there was an openness to allow them to discuss their doubts and concerns that they might have and receive trusted advice or instruction in God's Word. In those times, parents also pointed young people to important faith practices such as worship and prayer and Bible reading and service to others. So again, that important relationship at home. But certainly congregations had an important part in that as well. And similar to the home, congregations that were places where young people could know that they had congregations that fostered an open and honest environment where they could share their joys, questions, and in times of crisis, know that God's word would be spoken to them in love. As we saw in our children's messages, and as one commentator that I saw, as he was reflecting on the thought of love in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, if the situation is bad, love wants to help. If the situation is good, love wants to celebrate. And that is the love of Jesus that we know and that we're able to exhibit in our churches and schools. Practically, this meant, and we saw in our research, is that youth were able to find a safe leader to talk to in their home congregation. Young people observed evidence that their home church supported their faith growth. This may have been doing service. This may have been going on youth activities. This may have been having Sunday school for young people in which they were able to bring their concerns and questions and dig deep into God's word. Young people said that the church handled mental health issues well and with respect. That young people saw that their home church handled conflict well and helped them walk through maybe times of conflict in their life. And young people at these congregations also felt much more comfortable inviting friends to their church, where they knew their friends would be met with grace as well. A second marker for congregations as they showed the love of Jesus is that they were willing to engage in tough spiritual conversations. In his writings, Paul engaged in some tough spiritual communication. And I'm sure that he engaged in many tough spiritual conversations. We see it in the books of Acts, and no doubt to the people that he wrote his epistles to, he engaged in conversation with them. And sometimes, no doubt, it was difficult. But he did it out of love. Sometimes these conversations may not be easy, but they're worth it. Our young people are inundated with new ideas and information in ways previous generations were not. And as adults and as the church, we can be an empathetic and sympathetic ear to what they face in their everyday life. One phrase we have come to adopt as we work with adults and parents on this topic is that those of us that are older, we were all young once, but we were not young at this time. And seeing the trials and seeing the world in which our young people live in, and in our context, we adults can empathetically listen to the questions and the concerns of our young people. These might be topics such as role of technology in our life. Now with the information age, our young people understand brokenness across our world, and we can help them apply God's word to that and understand their place in that and how we can help and show love to people around us. Thirdly, to wrap up, a marker of a congregation that showed love to young people and helped them stay connected to the church was a congregation that shared personal stories of grace, failure, challenge, and joy. Sometimes, too, that can be hard to speak those words to one another. Together in worship and in other areas of our life, we do that. We get to repeat the stories of Scripture, the promises of God and His unfailing love for us. Now, we can think of some specific places in Scripture where this happens. We can think of the Hebrew nation as they pass through the Red Sea and Moses' wonderful song about God's triumphal power. Or we think of the reading of the law and the people's response in Jerusalem, recorded in Nehemiah 8 and 9. The Psalms recount many times the creative work of God, His redemptive power and strength, and His grace to continually forgive sinners. And in the New Testament, we see the small but mighty church proclaim the mysteries and goodness of Jesus through the book of Acts and the writing of the apostles. Thousands of years later, we still gather in places like St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School, and to hear that good news of what Jesus has done for us and how He has changed everything for us. We're also blessed to have the opportunity to tell personal stories of God's work in our lives. In these stories, we speak of how God has been faithful in our lives and redeemed us, and how He uses us to do His good work. Telling these stories of grace, at times even failure, challenge, and joy are important markers to help young people see God's faithfulness still today. They get to see the joy of following Jesus and to see how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of others. Saints at St. Mark's, may this gospel, the account of our living, crucified, risen Savior, be the story of God's unending love that captures your life, your heart, and your mind. Amen.
My friends, as we have heard God's word, let us return praise and thanksgiving to Him by singing the song Ancient Words together. And as we sing, I encourage you, please record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in your pews.
Holy words, oh. words impart.
My friends, when we were lost in our sin, our God did not wait for us to come to him, but he came to us. And let us confess the faith that God has made clear to us in the words of Scripture, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My friends, as we go into the time of prayer for our service today, I want to just bring up a few things that we need to be praying for. Matt Gamewell, one of our young members here, is really suffering with a lot of migraines, and we want to be praying for him as the doctors try to help him with that. Pauline Wessander, which is Ethel Boudry's mother, is still on hospice. She stopped eating, so she's near the end. We want to be praying for her and her family as they love her right up till the end. We want to be praying for Mark Kiesling and his ministry as he continues to serve God by serving these young people in our congregations. And of course, we want to be praying for our school, our teachers, our students, their families, as we give thanks to God for the ministry of our school. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have reached out to us, Lord, and through your word, through the Holy Spirit, given us faith in this amazing gospel, Lord, this death and resurrection of your Son by which we live. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, in all of the different situations of our life, regardless of what it is we are struggling with or rejoicing about. Lord, I pray that you'd be especially with Matt Gamewell, Lord, that you would give him relief from his headaches, Lord, and help him, Lord, to be able to enjoy this life that you have given him. I pray that you would be with Ethel and her family, Lord, as they care for Pauline, Lord, and give her everything that she needs and love her in every way as we give honor to the gift of life that you have given each of us. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to give them comfort and peace during this difficult but wonderful time. Lord, I pray that you would be with our denomination, Lord, and all the ministries of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But Lord, especially we pray for Pastor Mark and the ministry to the youth of our denomination. I pray that you would bless him, Lord, give him wisdom and strength as he plans for the uncertain future, Lord. A future is always uncertain, seems especially so today. At least we're more aware of it, Lord. But you are the one who has all answers. I pray that you would help all of us, Lord, as we do ministry in the future, but especially Mark, as he plans and helps the ministries of this youth ministry. Lord, I pray that you'd also be with our school. All those same things apply there, Lord, that the uncertainty and the difficulties and the strains of doing ministry on a normal basis, but then especially during this epidemic, Lord, I pray that you would be with the teachers. Give them strength and focus and help them, Lord, to speak your word and your knowledge, Lord, into the lives of these young people so that they, Lord, can be ever grown in a relationship with you, firmly rooted to your grace, your love, and the truth that you give us in your word. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Very good. All right. My friends, we are come to the time of our service. Please be seated at this moment, where we are going to be praying for each other. Every fifth Sunday of a month, we have prayer and care. And so those who have been selected, if you guys would come forward and be ready to receive people. The rest of you, this is a time when you can bring your concerns, your thanksgivings, anything that you wish to have individual prayer for. You can come forward at this time, and we will be praying for you. The people who are in the pews, and just be praying, Lord, or be praying for all of these people up here as they come forward.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when Satan sees. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
sorrows come and hope seems gone, you're the rock I rest upon. When waters rise and I can't breathe, you're the one that rescues me. Out of the darkness I lift up my eyes unto the hills. I feel my faith rise. Maker of heaven, giver of earth, you are my strength, my song in the night, my refuge, my shelter, now and forevermore. My help comes from the Lord. Dead on earth and scarred by sin, death gives way to life again. When I suffer, I lift up my eyes unto the hill, for I feel my faith rise. Maker of heaven, giver of life, you are my strength, my song in the night, my refuge, my shelter, now and forevermore. My help comes from the
friends. Let us now turn to our Lord and receive from him one of his amazing gifts, this blessing of communion, where we get to spend time with our Lord and in fellowship with one another and receive from him this forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that he promises to give us in this gift. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
It's the light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty and you've got no way out, call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, the
just know that you're both wings. Just call it what it is, call it grace. It's the breath that's breathing new life into what we thought was dead. It's the favor that takes orphans, placing crowns upon their heads. It's the hope for our tomorrows, the rock on which we stand. It's the strong and mighty fortress, even hell can stand against. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart who rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what it is, call it grace. Amazing, unshaking, this is grace, this is grace. Shaking, this is grace, this is grace. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart who rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous that Jesus took a place. Just call it what it is, just call it what it is, call it grace.
Seas will roar at the sound of your name.
We have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a miraculous and wonderful gift. But that's not where it ends, because in this gift of his body and blood, he gives us the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that we so desperately need. And so as we know that this is true, as we know his promise is certain, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together, as we give thanks to our God and King. Have a seat, my friends, and a few announcements for you this morning. First of all, Sandra Canada is wonderful and willing to drive our items that we gather in the lobby to take them over to the food pantry, but she needs help loading her vehicle. So if anybody, young men around here, would be willing to help them out that or help her out, that would be amazing right after the service. Let's see here then. Spiritware. Okay, we have some people who make spiritware for our school. And if you guys want any, this is like the new school logo. It's kind of cool. There's stuff in the back. This is a kind of a more traditional academic sweatshirt. If you guys are interested in these things, they're actually well priced. I mean, they're very low priced, and they're selling them for you buy one, you get one half price. So there you go. I've done my sales pitch for the morning. It's the fine print in the job description that you just get. It gets you every time. All right, what else is there? Then there is Camilla's next week. The students, you know, they told you in the chapel last quarter they were able to raise like $500 for our friends in Guatemala, and we're not able to go into Guatemala again. Uncertainty is too high. We just can't plan on something that uncertain. So we're going to be continuing to send them money so that our man on the street down there, Nils, will be able to buy more food and deliver it to the families who need it so desperately bad. And so we're going to continue with that. So next Monday, not tomorrow, but a week from Monday, is going to be our next Camilla's night. So if you go there and eat, you're also helping people in Guatemala eat. So it kind of works out for everybody, right? And there's no dishes. It's the best. All right, so... And then finally, we have weather coming. Have you noticed? Ever heard about this? Yeah, it's like, you know, Snowzilla. So basically what I want to do is I want to just basically remind you of how we're going to manage that. You can either see, we're going to send out an email. If you don't get the email, because email's not perfect, so if you don't get the email, you can always check on our church website, or we have it on channels 2, 4, 5, and 30. Okay? So... it's out there. If we're not able to hold church here on the facility, we will still have our Zoom link active. And if nothing else, I will lead church from my living room. We will make it happen one way or the other. We will be in God's word, and we're going to be together as close as we can be. So that's how it's going to work. All right. With that, then, I do want to invite Merv Denning to come forward at this time. As we have just wrapped up National Lutheran Schools Week, I thought it would be appropriate for our principal to have a word with us. Wow, that just sounds intimidating, doesn't it? The principal wants to have a word with you.
So as Mrs. A said in the children's message tonight, that was our food offerings for this year. That's not just kindergarten through eighth grade. That's infants to eighth grade. The entire school was behind that project and that too. So I'm tempted to open a couple peanut butter and jelly jars over there, but I won't because it's going to go to a good cause situation. That we had an amazing Lutheran Schools Week. We had an assembly this past week from Mad Scientist. We had a great chapel. We had this amazing thing here. We had dress-up days and that. So, again, thank you for support. Thank you for encouragement. Thank you for your prayers. And tomorrow I'm taking off because there's new principal Tibble will be in charge tomorrow. So I'm taking the day off. You don't see me here. If I'm home before the blizzard comes, then I'll get snowed in and I won't have to come to school anyway and that too. So have a great day.
Dear friends, it's always wonderful to be worshiping with you guys. As always, if anybody wishes individual prayer and didn't come forward already, we have Mike Kennedy, one of our elders, is available to pray with you in the prayer chapel after the service. God's blessings on your week.